Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is written in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, the first chapter, the first 9 verses. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, who are called as saints, along with all in every place who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of the grace of God given to you in Christ Jesus. You were enriched in him in every way, in all your speaking and all your knowledge, because the testimony about Christ was established in you. As a result, you do not lack any gift as you eagerly wait for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also keep you strong until the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is God's word. Dear friends in Christ, the congregation in Corinth needed help. There was confusion about the gifts of the Spirit. There was confusion about whom they had allegiance to, Paul or Barnabas or Christ. We understand this. There are also differences in congregations, differences in families. It's not unusual, but these differences in Corinth were causing problems, caused by the fact that they were sinners. And so are we. So Paul tells us, and them, the Savior gives sinners everything that they need. First of all, he selected them to be members of God's church. Look at Paul. Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Paul's background? Terrible. A persecutor of Christians, feared by all the believers in Jerusalem. And Paul, armed with an edict from the Sanhedrin, was now going to Damascus to continue his horrible work of arresting Christians and possibly even being responsible for their deaths. But Jesus stopped him, struck him with blindness, said, "You will be my missionary to the Gentiles." He went on, went into a house, and stayed there until Aeneas was called, and he received his sight. Then he went out into the wilderness, and the Holy Spirit instructed him, preparing him for his ministry. Paul didn't decide to do this. The Lord called him to be his special minister, not just to the Jews, but now also for the non-Jews, the Gentiles. Now we look at Corinth. To the church of God in Corinth, those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, who are called as saints. Paul, in his journeys, went to several European cities, one of them, Corinth. And there he proclaimed the word of God, and a church was established. For a while it looked good, but then humanism to a point took over, and there were divisions. There were complaints. There was overstress on many of the works that were possible. But they were still children of God. And in our text, we're told God sanctified them as Christians. They were sinners, but they were sanctified by Christ with a purpose. Proclaim the word of God in Corinth. That was their work. That wasn't humanly speaking. That was a work given to them by God, and God would bless that work. And yes, that church would grow. And they would be called saints. Now, what is a saint? It's a believer. That's what the Bible says. Any one of you who are believers, in God's eyes, you are saints. So the believers in Corinth were also called saints, made so not by their works, but by God working in them. But it wasn't just limited to Corinth. Along with all in every place who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. We are also called to be saints. We are also called to proclaim the word. We are also called to be believers in the Lord, a faith worked in us by the Holy Spirit. And what a blessing that is. And what a blessing it is for me today, the first time to proclaim this message to you, children of God, saints of God. The blessings of sainthood, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace. The fact that God loves us even though we don't deserve it. Every single day, in one way or another, we will disobey him. But his love continues. A love evidenced in Jesus Christ. A love which caused Jesus Christ to follow his Father's plan to become a human being. And it always amazes me. I know I'm getting up there in age. I'm now looking forward to my next life. I can't wait to go to heaven. And what did Jesus do? He left heaven to this earth to take upon himself the form of a human being, to lay aside most of his heavenly powers. A human being under his Father's laws, which we also are, which we can't obey, but which God said, you better, or you won't go to heaven. And so Christ came as a human being under his Father's laws to do for us what we can't do, to live a perfect life. And he did. He had to be a human being because his Father said in the Old Testament to the people of Israel, offer up a lamb to atone for your sins. They had to do it over and over again because it didn't work. But it had a reason. As John the Baptist said in our gospel this morning, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That Old Testament lamb pointed ahead to Christ, who is the Lamb of God, who would be sacrificed to take care of the sins of all the world. And he did on Good Friday. And when he said, it is finished, he meant it. No other sacrifice was needed. The sins of all people of all time were paid for. But now remember, he was also God, the God-man. And so on Easter Sunday, for us, he overcame death and the devil. He said, now because I have risen, you too will one day rise to live with me in glory. And his power over the devil, what did he do? He descended into hell, the stronghold of the devil. And the devil couldn't even touch him. He went there to proclaim his victory in the devil's stronghold, and he succeeded. Then he appears for 40 days toward many people, and finally ascends on high, where he now rules the world on our behalf. All of that due to God's grace. What does that mean for us? The second word, peace. When I think of peace, I always think of peace with God. Because God no longer sees our sins, he's no longer angry at us, and therefore we are at peace with him. But it means more. When you go home and you think about God's word and God's goodness, you don't get worried. You don't get frantic. You know God is in control. As I said in the introduction to the service, Jesus is always with us to strengthen us, to encourage us. And yes, at times even to heal us, knowing that we are at peace, a peace that God gives to us. He also enriches us with gifts for his service. I always thank my God for you because of the grace of God given to you in Christ Jesus. The people in Corinth received many blessings. Number one, the knowledge of the only way to heaven. Corinth was a heathen city, as were almost all the cities that Paul went to. They lived in a city where you honored false gods, where works were really emphasized. You had to please that God. And then they heard that wonderful message. You go to heaven not because of what you do, but because you believe that Jesus is your Savior. He is the only way to heaven. So don't worry about what you do. You do good works, yes, to honor God, to thank Him for what He has done. And that's what Paul told the people in Corinth. And that's why this letter was written, because the next verses speak of the problems that were there. Yes, they were a sinful congregation, as all congregations. They needed to be told that God is still with you. And what a blessing that is. You were enriched in Him in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge. Knowledge. When Paul got there, maybe some of them had heard about the way, which is what the church was called in Jerusalem, the way to heaven, but they didn't know anything about it. And then Paul comes into Corinth and he explains to them who Jesus was, what He is doing, and what it will be for you in the future. They received knowledge about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They received knowledge about the home that would be theirs when they died. And they received knowledge about how to get there. And when they had that knowledge, God gave them the ability to tell others. One of the biggest complaints that I hear when I talk to someone who's going to be going out now to share this word with neighbors, I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I'm qualified. I might make a mistake, and that would ruin it all. Well, I'm going to give you an example of a boy. A little boy. I worked when I was at school in Watertown at Bethesda Lutheran Home. I worked in the children's infirmary. And there was one baby, probably 5 or 6 years old, hydrocephalic. Means in our terms, a waterhead. His head was probably bigger than the rest of his body. When you got him up, you had to help him set up because he couldn't do it on his own. He could feed himself. We had to change his diaper and so forth. But he always looked forward to one thing. We quite often had tours that would come through that infirmary. And when he heard a tour was coming, you should have seen the smile on his face for a very good reason. We always made sure that on that day he was dressed his best. And we always made sure that on that day the tour would go by his bed. And when they got there and looked at that poor kid who was really suffering from physical ailments, they would hear him say, "Jesus loves me. I'm going to heaven." Simple words. Filled with so much content, the people would leave and wonder, wow, if he can do it, so can we. It's simple to proclaim simple messages, sin and grace, life and death, heaven. That's what we want to share. And God gives us the ability to do that. And then comes our final day. I always enjoy going to a hospital, to a Christian, usually aged, who is near death. I come into the room. I don't see her cry, him or her crying. I see a smile on her face. I know I'm going to heaven. My dad, who suffered horribly from cancer, the last time I saw him, he pleaded with me. He said, "Son, you have a direct route to God. Would you please ask him to take me out of this veil of tears to himself? I can't handle the pain anymore. I want to go where there is no pain." I had a lady down in New Carlisle, about 40 years old, two little kids, basically almost engaged to a member who started coming to the church after I got there. One evening she was preparing dinner and collapsed. Her daughters found her on the floor. The emergency room was built. An ambulance was called. She was taken to the hospital, was at ICU, and she died. We don't know what happened. They do know that she was on the floor for a while and her heart had stopped beating, and therefore, because there was no oxygen going to the brain, her brain stopped working. But the comment I want to make is the comment of the boyfriend. He says, "She's going to a place where she won't have any pain anymore." What a confession from a man who was about to lose his future, his life, his wife, thinking only about where she now is. The Lord says, "I will keep you strong until the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." His comment there is, it's going to happen. Judgment day will happen. I don't know when. You don't know when. People who have said they knew when and were all ready, it didn't happen, they're still waiting. All we know is that the Lord said, it will happen. I will come. And until I come, I will make sure you are still in the faith. Yeah, as it gets closer, the devil's going to try harder and harder to lead you away. But the Holy Spirit says, "I won't let him do it." Jesus overcame him with his resurrection. The devil will try, but he'll fail when it comes to Christians. God will be with us and keep us on the in the faith until he comes. God is faithful, who called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. What an assuring last verse. His promises are true. He doesn't lie. When he says he's going to do it, he's going to do it. And if he says he's going to keep you in the faith, he's going to do it. And if he says there will be a judgment day, it's going to happen. And when he says for you who are believers, you're going to go to heaven, it will happen. Because he doesn't lie. So we look back at our beginning. The Savior gives sinners everything they need. We want to be faithful, children of God and heirs of heaven. Too often we fail. We're sinners. We make mistakes. But he says, don't be afraid. I will always be with you. He gives us what we need to be faithful children of God. And he will keep doing this until he returns. He gives us everything we need. Amen.